This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
When you get fooled by smiling faces, don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about
continue our roundtable. Jim Hewer, Brian Hoffman, Frank Cusimano, and Darren is here. Tomorrow, we're going to have Andy Mueller and Ahmad Hicks from Channel 5, part of a roundtable. A little bit later in this program, we're going to join with Patrick Risch. We're going to hook up with Patrick, Washington U economics professor, give us his take on some of the business items in the sports world. Katie Shields, SLU soccer coach, and Benjamin Hochman from the Post-Dispatch on the Cardinals. Isn't it kind of fitting, by the way, last night that the All-Star game was basically a strikeout fest?
Yeah.
And that's what Major League Baseball really has become.
That's what the game is, unfortunately.
How about Shane Bieber? He is the MVP of the All-Star game. For just striking out the side.
Yeah, you just showed up. You're a Cleveland guy. You showed up. It's in Cleveland.
I mean, the MVP of the All-Star game used to be like Dave Parker throwing out two people from right field. Or game-winning home runs or guys getting two or three hits. Guy strikes out the side, he's the MVP.
Now, I will say this, discussing strikeouts in the All-Star game, to not get too out of control about it, because just look at the names of the pitchers and just look at the stuff that they have. And you're talking one at-bat versus an all-star great pitcher every single time. So if you get two at-bats in the game, and let's just say you play for the American League, two at-bats in a game, your first one might come up against Hyunjin Ryu or Clayton Kershaw. And if you get a second at-bat, it's coming up against Jacob deGrom or Luis Castillo or maybe even Walker Buehler. Like, the odds of you striking out against them in one at-bat, pretty good, especially when it's a one-inning stint and they're probably throwing harder than they normally do in a game and they're just giving you their best stuff just to get you out. That's the only thing I'll caution about it, is that it is different. Does baseball have a strikeout problem? Yes. I don't think it's an all-star game problem necessarily.
Yeah. Lakeside Roofing, established in 1972, has a solid reputation for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's rep is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Maryville sponsors the phone lines. They're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Go to maryville.edu. All right, our toughest question, I think, of the day. 5 years from now, who will we be saying is the more successful coach? Barry Odom or Conzo Martin?
Ooh, wow.
Conzo. And honestly, I'm surprised it took me that long to say that. Not that I think Barry's a bad coach, but I just think it's tougher for Mizzou to win in football.
That's a great point.
Than it is in basketball moving forward.
See, I would argue in that division that the only team that's really going to be better than you, for sure, is Georgia. You can be better than South Carolina. You can be better than Kentucky. You are better than Vandy. And you have a season coming up where you're going to be favored possibly in 9 of the 12 games you're going to play. And you're starting to get recruits. And then you're facing a basketball conference that's just loaded with all these unbelievable recruiters. And you're behind the eight ball right now. Hmm. See, if you were to ask this question a year ago, slam dunk Conzo Martin.
Yeah.
The way it's trending now, I think you could make a strong case for Barry Odom. It's tough.
Yeah, I see it a little differently in this respect. One, I agree with you, Brian, that it's harder to win on the football side than the basketball side. I truly believe that one. The other side is, I think when because it's going to happen, when Odom's team struggle a little bit, and I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but when they struggle, the noise that comes from the fan base is going to be get rid of Odom louder than it will be Conzo. Because
yes.
I think the
When will the struggling happen? If you're set at quarterback for like the next 5 years,
well,
the way it's set
up. I still see that 6 to 8 wins isn't going to be enough for fan base. There's for the football side, it's unrealistic. But I think the fan base, I mean, we saw it last year. I mean, see how many games Barry won? They were a couple of plays from winning 10, and it was like, we got to get rid of Barry. Let the thing play out. But I don't think the fan base in football will let that happen.
See, I think this basketball thing is going to be a lot more difficult than people think.
But I think people are more accepting that a basketball, they're not going
to finish ninth in the
to finish somewhere between 9 and 4, 4th. In the SEC, I think they're more accepting, just because they know there's Kentucky and they were really bad before Konzo got here. I think he gets a little more of a leash.
I'm not down on Konzo at all.
No,
I'm a little higher on Barry right now. Plowsy, your thoughts?
Plowsy says Illinois.
He says Lovie Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, like I think Barry Odom is. And I've said overrated in the past, but I think he's the right coach for that job because they're kind of sitting in mediocrity. But this recruiting class that Barry Odom has now brought in the last two seasons is a huge step up, not only getting local talent, but obviously four-star national talent. I think that's what's going to change the tide, because you're playing in the SEC. Regardless if the SEC East or not, you're playing in a really tough division. I think Barry Odom got a chance to turn around. It's just all about the players around him.
Will Travis Ford be the Billiken coach 3 years from now?
No, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think
because those 3 years are really good. I mean by that, I like Travis Ford as a coach. I like him as a person, especially. Very nice guy. Comes in this program a lot. But if he's not the coach at SLU 3 years from now, so that's the third year, that means the 2 years prior were really good for the program, and that's why you hired him.
It's ironic you asked this question, because I was thinking this last night. It's good. How much longer do you get to keep Travis Ford for the same? Because not how much do we have to keep him that tone? But
well, he's
got
to win 25 games again to get another job.
I think he's going to be real successful here, and I think it's going to be trouble keeping him. But I think he'll still be here, because I would hope the administration will realize in order to keep that guy, they have to keep that guy and keep the program moving forward.
Why couldn't they turn this into a Gonzaga situation and just keep paying him if they're really good?
That's why I think I hope that they realize that and keep him here.
But can you outpay what a bigger state school can offer? You always mention Kentucky. Well, what if Calipari decides either to go to the NBA or he just wants to take a break and retire in general, and Kentucky has a blank check?
Well,
you can't if you're SLU.
Then I think it's on Travis, but I think Travis has been around a couple different stops where he realizes, hey, this is a perfect spot for me right now.
Yeah, like
I could be wrong and misread that, but that's what I would see.
I think if you want to use Gonzaga as an example, that's fine, but that's really rare.
How about Xavier,
yes,
too? They kept Xavier's him a long time.
But you know what also they did? They just promoted from within for the next guy.
Yeah.
How SLU should handle this, when they hired Travis Ford, they should have gone, look, we don't want you here in 5 years, because that means that the 3-4 years prior were good. Tournament appearances, tournament wins, pack Schaefer at the arena, and then you go on to the big state school, because that's probably where you want to go back to. You want to go back to a program like Oklahoma State. But in return, you have your successor on staff. So then we know the guy that we're going to turn to next, and then we just keep that cycle going. Look at a list of Xavier coaches over the years. It's just the same. Coach leaves, Dad Mata leaves, they promote from within, and they keep doing that over and over and over again. Sean Miller leaves, they promote from within. And that's been a successful run for Xavier. That's what SLU needs to adopt.
Well, athletic directors normally don't like to promote from within, because they want to choose their own guy. They want to get that diamond in the rough. Like, for instance, when Porter Moser was the assistant coach, associate head coach under Rick Majerus, he wanted to work out a deal with Chris May to be the coach in waiting, because he was up for a job. It may have been Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And it was the one down year that Majerus had. I think his only losing season or 500 season was the year they had that little scandal. But Chris May, in his defense, you can't hire the coach in waiting. You can't say you're the coach in waiting on a team that just went under 500.
Yeah,
I like the idea. In a perfect world, you had that guy on the staff. But normally athletic directors don't want to do that. All right, it's a little non-hardcore sports. the show on television that has you hooked right now?
Gosh. The streaming service or?
Anything.
Oh, it's Handmaid's Tale. Not even close.
I'm with you there. New one tonight, too.
I can't wait.
Wednesday.
I'm a real bad person to ask this because I don't watch a lot. But I am really looking forward to the season 3 of Ozark.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Are we close on that?
I don't know.
I looked.
That's a good question.
And it says it's coming soon. But what is soon? I don't know what that means.
Kilcoin just finished.
Yeah. He did.
He's
we
ready
start
to go.
Talking about it.
You know, I'm not. My wife and I are watching Big Little Lies, but I'm not completely into it. It's okay.
There's just some mean women, aren't there?
Yes, they are. And the season's not as good as the previous season because they're just kind of. There was one book written and now
Laura
they're off
Dern
the book.
Is just the most...
I'll say this, the show I'm looking forward to most returning, and it won't be till 2020, unfortunately, is Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah.
And because they left it off where Bob Odenkirk, the actor, is going from Jimmy McGill to Saul Goodman. Like that transition has just happened. So I look forward to seeing how they approach it now moving forward because that is a great show.
Yes,
podcasts you listen to the most.
I don't listen to podcasts.
For me, it's Bill Simmons because it's so NBA-centric and he's unbelievable. And he's
Joe Rogan. He's pro-pot. I mean, he has a lot of – I mean, his interviews are, I mean, on a wide
– Tell me more about Joe Rogan.
I think it's called the Joe Rogan Experience, interviewing people from Elon Musk to, you know, obviously MMA fighters. Mm-hmm. But obviously – he does weed, former athletes who advocate weed. I mean, him and Elon Musk smoked a joint while they were doing their podcast, and it's obviously videoed as well, and you can stream it on their Twitter. And he's just, like I said, the interview is not every one of them is going to be your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I think that what makes podcasts good is, like, you have a wide range of guests, and, you know, you try to make as many people happy as possible. He really does bring some truth and some light out on some really controversial topics. So,
I do not listen to any podcast.
Yeah, I really don't either.
You are wet blankets.
Well, I'm not sure it's just because I'm in an industry, like in radio, and I spend my day listening to stuff, and maybe I don't want to when I'm outside of work.
I don't have time to listen to anybody tell me anything for
an hour. Well, like at KSDK, they're always saying, hey, we want you to start a podcast. And I said, why?
Just
if you want to hear what I got to say, I'll do it on TV or do it on radio. I got nothing more to say.
Right.
I don't have anything interesting to say.
It's a big thing when TV stations had individual have blogs. What was that, or 9 years ago when blogs were the big thing?
Oh, they're still. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're just crazy.
Oh, I remember when Five Nine of the Man wanted you to have a blog, Frank.
That's right.
And then they wanted Frank to write it individually, like, every day. And what I ended up doing was I would just – because you would type out your monologue and then print it. You would email it to me, and then I would print it, or at least I would have it on hand in case something happened. So I would just copy and paste the monologue onto the website and kind of change the phrasing a little bit and then, you know, clean up the grammar or whatever. And then, like, there we go. There's Frank's blog.
Who was in charge of that?
There's
Dan
only
Marshall.
So many hours of the
day. That
was
Dan's idea.
That's what I tell people. There's only so many hours in the day.
That was such a bad website.
All right, man. Good first hour. We're going to come back and talk some business of sports with Dr. Patrick Risch.